know you came here to say. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, let me see. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Lou Groza Boulevard in Berea. Busy place, 76 Lou Groza Boulevard. Jim Donovan along with Matt Wilhelm today here on Cleveland Browns Daily, and another beautiful day. And for the rookie class and the rookies coming into training camp, this is their last day, Matt Wilhelm, of summer vacation. Training camp for them gets the early bell as it will come into session tomorrow for them. So this is their day to get into Cleveland, get situated, and get to Berea and get ready to go. And I am excited to see this rookie class and if they can contribute, you know, significantly. But more importantly, can they do it right away? I'm all about opening day saying, hey, look out there. There's Danny Shelton of the starting defensive line. There's Cam Irving starting along the Browns offensive line. There's Nate Orchard coming off the corner. You know, Duke Johnson coming in on third down or second down. That's what I want to see on opening day.
And that's exactly what we should see. And you mentioned the four guys who I and most people in this building really feel are going to make the most immediate impact. We know we're, in most cases, going to have a starter out of Danny Shelton at nose tackle on this defense. Cam Irving will be in a competition, but as you've mentioned, and as Jim O'Neill said here, when you draft 12 and 19, you need your first-round picks to be out there participating, and in some cases, learning on the run, but going out there and outperforming the person that they have to beat out. In this case, it's John Greco. Duke Johnson, I feel his role will grow as the season goes on. But immediately out of the backfield and on third down, he should be a feature back.
Okay, so the rookie class will be here on Wednesday, which is tomorrow. And Matt, what will happen for them? Is it an orientation kind of thing?
It really is. It's their first introduction to what training camp is. A lot of it's organization, a lot of meetings. They're probably going to spend maybe an hour on the field, you know, walking through some of the review stuff that they've installed through OTAs and minicamp. But it's just acclimation. And I think the resounding voice in their head should be, I am now a pro. I am now a pro.
Right.
And what it takes to survive a training camp and flourish in a training camp, for the guys that we mentioned, they're going to be on this roster. They're going to be actively participating week one. But for some of the lower draft picks and undrafted free agents, this is the start of their NFL career. They need to grasp it and take the bull by the horns.
When you arrived at your first training camp out in San Diego, were you nervous?
Nervous.
You were nervous.
I was nervous.
Were you more nervous going to San Diego than you were taking the trip down 71 when you left here in Northeast Ohio, went down to Columbus to report to the Ohio State University?
I definitely was more nervous because they had paid me money. They had used a draft pick on me. I wanted to live up to the expectations set forth by me.
And then what did the Chargers do for you?
And the Chargers... Hey, I didn't...
Only kidding.
No tattoos.
No.
I have all my gold pants and rings, okay?
Only kidding out there. No NCAA investigation.
You know, I was, going down to Ohio State, being an Ohio boy, I was very comfortable with the coaches, comfortable with the other players in my recruiting
class. You probably knew some of them, right?
Absolutely. Had played in all-star games with them, and a lot of the reason why I went to Ohio State. Going out to San Diego, new coaches, new scheme, you're playing against grown men. And the sooner that these young players, these 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old, brand new professionals in the National Football League grasp the fact that they're competing against grown men who have wives and kids and families and homes and cars and boats, and they want to live that lifestyle as long as they can.
And mortgages.
And absolutely. Yeah. The sooner they wrap their head around that, the sooner they will, too, become a pro.
Okay, so that starts tomorrow. So I would ask you today at 216-578-0850 to give us a jingle. When you arrive out here for a Berea practice as you attend training camp, or when you go down to First Energy Stadium, the home of the Cleveland Browns, and watch the preseason games, and as you watch the Browns motor through those four games to get to the opening day at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands when they take on the New York Jets, who is the rookie that you're most excited about? Now, if I throw that out there, are we going to get a ton of calls saying Duke Johnson?
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah, I would agree with that too.
You and me, and if Nathan were sitting here, we'd all say Duke Johnson.
Okay, but I want to train you a little bit. And the great Pat Kerwin wrote a book about how to watch football without having to watch the ball all the time. Okay, something along
that.
Something along the lines of that. So it's going to be really, you know, when you go into a draft. okay? And there's what they call that category of what's a sexy pick. Well, a sexy pick is a running back like Duke Jackson or Trent Richardson when the Browns drafted him. Or Terrence West was intriguing when the Browns went and got him last year. A quarterback certainly is a very
Braylon
sexy
Edwards.
Pick. A wide receiver is a very sexy pick. An offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, you know, you go, all right, you know, on draft night, you go, okay, I buy it, but it's not what you fall into that category of a sexy pick. So their two picks in the first round, only by description of, you know, categorizing what they are, they aren't the sexy picks.
No, they're not.
Okay, but they were needed picks, and they are picks that I think I want you to strain your eyes a little bit and move away from, you know, you can do this in the preseason, move away from the football some of the times, or maybe, you know, if in Danny Shelton's case, maybe he'll be right on the football, and watch in those pits and get a look at what Cam Irving is doing and where he's doing it at. Is he doing it at guard? Will he get some looks at center? Would they even kick him outside a little bit? He's
sure.
done that in his college career. And then, you know, when Danny Shelton's in there, let's see what he does. When Xavier Cooper is in there, let's see what he does. Are they destructive? Are they, you know, do they interrupt the play? Are they allowing others to make the play? I mean, I think that's a little bit of a guide now when you come out to training camp, considering what the Browns did with those two first-round picks.
I agree, and I think that you and I, if we have the opportunity throughout training camp to talk to Danny Shelton, I believe he thinks 6'2", 350 pounds with flowing locks, you know, from Samoa is sexy to him.
Yeah, you're right.
But then also, too, as you mentioned yesterday, watching as much Cam Irving film at Florida State and what Florida State as a team accomplished during Cam Irving's time there makes it a very sexy pick.
Oh, yeah.
Within this building, within what we need to build a winning franchise.
Yeah, if you weren't with us yesterday, and I hope you were, but we had a terrific show, but when we were talking about what was going on over the weekend, I happened to watch a collection of Florida State games that were shown on ESPN2 or 3 and over the weekend, and it was Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Clemson, and there was a whole bunch of them. And I just affixed my eyes to where Cam Irving was, and in this case, he was playing center, and he demolished everybody. I mean, they didn't have to go outside left, outside right. They just went right over him, and they just demolished everybody because he destroyed everybody, no matter who it was who they played, and no matter where that team was coming from, whether it was Notre Dame or coming out of the ACC with Georgia Tech and Clemson, and certainly even against Oregon when they were successful in that game before they lost. You know, they were going right over him. He was an exceptional player. It was fun to watch.
And was he at left tackle in those games?
No, he was at center.
He was
when
at center
I
in those
him.
Games.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, right.
which goes to show how great he is. The reason why I asked is because I know Clemson had Vic Beasley, you know, top outside pass rusher.
Right.
And I would love to watch that matchup.
Yeah.
You know, Cam Irving, our pick, versus one of the best pass rushers in this year's draft.
Now, remember, it was important in that game because they didn't have Winston
they
in that
not.
Game. They had that young kid, or he wasn't young, but he had sat for a long time as he was getting in there because Winston served the suspension. So I would ask you, who are some of the rookies that you would be interested when you come out here to watch? Because I think the Browns drafted so common-sensely, if you can call that a term, but they drafted so much for what their needs were that I think they have found players now that they say, hey, listen, let's go. Let's put them in. Let's play. Now, you just don't get in there, Matt, because you were drafted in the first round.
No.
Okay? You're drafted 12 and 19, these two players that are coming in here out of the first round, but they still have to earn their space, and there are people that they will compete against. So Shelton doesn't just get in there and play. I mean, Justin Gilbert just did not. Joe Hayden did not get right into the lineup when he came, you know, off. Mingo would have, I think, had he not been injured at the
Correct.
Start of his rookie year. But, I mean, what is it like when you watched the first-round picks come walking in and you're not a first-round pick into a camp?
It was you were always looking to see how they were accepted by their teammates, how they were accepted by those coaches, because they do get preferential treatment. You're absolutely right in the fact that they're not – they might be penciled in for a starting spot, especially when you look at the Cleveland Browns. They drafted for need.
Yes.
They didn't draft the sexy pick. They drafted Danny Shelton because we need to stop the run
right.
for this defense to solidify itself and carry the offense if need be. We needed, after last year with the loss of Alex Mack, we needed a very highly productive, versatile offensive lineman, and we got that in Cam Irving. So you as a draft pick, you're looking to the first round of guys to see how they're accepted by that locker room, how they're accepted by their coaches, and also how they carry themselves, mm-hmm. because they've been a highly touted All-American. They've been highly touted. They've been, they signed with a big agent. They get the big bonus.
Right.
You want to, when you're a draft pick, you want to be like them, and you want the acceptance. And all that happens in a couple weeks from now, Jim, when they get out on that field, all that money, all that notoriety and where you were drafted means nothing if you can't carry your own weight on that practice field and legitimize yourself to your teammates that you can play the game of football.
Now, the other thing is, so many rookies, no matter where they play, offensively or defensively, always say that the speed of the game just catches them, and it's very fast. And the whole goal is, and you would like to get it by the time that the regular season begins, but maybe even it leaks into the regular season, is that you want the game to slow down yep. for them. Was the game fast for you, and will these kids, when they come in and finally get on the field with the veterans and the tempo is set, will they find the game fast?
They will at first. It absolutely was fast for me. But the one thing that I learned very quickly is, and as big and as physical and as fast as everybody tries to get, it's your eye control. If you're looking at the right things and going through your process, which is why there's so many meetings and you watch so much film to ingrain those steps in a defense and or play or so on and so forth. If you ingrain those steps in your mind and you're looking at the right things, you'll naturally end up where you're supposed to be, and the game does slow down. The one other factor that a lot of people that I've never really discussed, but it's very evident when you're out there participating in a practice, is how clean an NFL practice is. And when I say that, you have paid professionals doing their job properly,
right.
executing their job. So I'm 1/11th of a play, mm-hmm. and if all 11 do your job, it should happen the way it is drawn up on a whiteboard. And that's when you get really good, when you're having clean practices and you're not having to repeat plays. There's no guys on the ground. No one's getting hurt.
Right.
That's when you're practicing as a team that plays winning football.
216-578-0850 is the telephone number if you want to hop on with us and talk about what rookie might really catch your imagination as we get set to see the Browns out on the practice field, and now we move to the stage of where we put the pads on at some point very early, and we get this thing going, and we really see what kind of running game the Browns are going to have, or how good this offensive line is, or how much farther ahead is Jim O'Neill's defense than it was at this time last year when everybody was new. Everybody was new
yep.
at this time last year. Now you have some new staff members, and certainly at the top of the offensive ladder with John DeFilippo coming in and bringing his offense in, and he's got some new staff that he's brought in there too. Joker Phillips comes in as the wide receiver coach. But, you know, the other fact is when you take us to the Browns offense, which we now will know what the Browns defense looks like. It's going to look like it did last year and hopefully even a little bit better.
Yep.
But offensively, it's going to have a new look, won't it?
It will.
I mean, will it be much different than the Shanahan look?
It will.
That we saw last year?
It absolutely will. And first and foremost, what's going to be most apparent when Cleveland Browns fans come to practice is all the nuances in this offense pre-snap. That means a lot of trades, a lot of motions, creating, building formations, if that makes sense. You can align in an empty backfield, and on set hut, they actually, you know, come back into an I set with a tight end and a bunch formation. You never know what it's going to be. So, and my comments to John DeFilippo out on the practice field were, that causes a lot of strain on a defense because you've got to take that immediate picture and be able to adjust on the fly, which causes a defense and catches them off guard. So immediately it's going to look a lot different. And then you'll see predominant, and if I had to give a percentage to it, 70% is going to be the zone run scheme, a lot like last year.
Right.
But then there's going to be some concepts where we'll see Batonio or Greco or Irving, you know, pulling around and getting in front of Crow or West or Duke Johnson,
okay.
which to me, having played behind, you know, with Marty Schottenheimer and Norv Turner, who are power, you know, prevalent coaches.
Yeah.
I like that. I like to say, hey, we're going to run the football. We're going to pull Batonio, and he's going to lead up on Ryan Shazier of the Pittsburgh Steelers as we highlight them later in the show, and we're going to get that 3 yards that we need on 3rd and 3.
Okay, so we will notice that it will be really there will be powerful formations,
yep.
or they will lead to powerful leads.
Yes.
to running play.
And some zone scheme
right,
as well.
For people that wonder about things like, will the Browns show a lot of fullback in this offense? There will be a fullback. Wilbur Montgomery said they really wanted to have a fullback a little bit more last year. They couldn't find the right fullback, I think, last year. They had a couple of them. Ray Agnew Jr. started the year. Kiero Smalley came in, and then Ray Agnew Jr. came back in.
Yep.
And then the Browns also drifted those tight ends back. You know, Jim Dre or Barnage would go back into the backfield. But will there be a true, if the fullbacks had a union around football, will we have a card-carrying, hard-headed fullback that will lead the way?
We won't.
Really? Okay, we will
won't.
Not.
The personality that we'll have in that backfield is going to be Malcolm Johnson. And I know Nathan's always made the reference, you know, to Ray Farmer when we interviewed him right after the draft is Marcel Reif with the Oakland Raiders.
I liked Marcel
Reif. You know,
Reif.
A 20 to 30 reception guy.
Yes.
He's the move guy. You know, he creates leverage on the edge in this run scheme. So he's going to be moved around. He'll be an X factor and a security blanket for Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel as the quarterback of this team. But he's not the thumper, the old thumper that we're used to seeing. You know, the Daryl Johnston, the Lorenzo Neal
or the guy
type
we,
of guys.
The guy we had here at one point, we had Lawrence Vickers.
Correct.
Who was a real
not that
thumper.
Guy.
He was a thumper.
This is
no
an
question.
Athlete.
That's a perfect way to describe
Charles
Vickers.
Clay. Charles Clay is also that F personality in an offense.
You know, Matt, I always thought last year when the Browns beat the Raiders here on that Sunday afternoon that they were fortunate that day that Marcel Reif did not play in that game.
Right.
He was hurt at that time,
yes.
And he did not
Very
play
good
in
player.
That game. Very good player. And John DeFilippo seemed to really like him. This is a big camp for him. Okay, we're talking about the rookies, but you know, John's been around NFL for a long time now, and he's coached positions, but now this is his first shot as a coordinator.
Coordinator, not only coordinator and having it be his offense, but when the lights are on each and every Sunday to be able to call plays.
Yeah.
He's never called plays before, and maybe he's had some type of impact in what type of plays he wants called or some feedback to a coordinator, but now this is his gig. This is his show. So it's not only his offense, all those movements, and the players that he wants playing it, but he has to make the call situationally each and every Sunday as well.
So I really am excited about the rookies. I think this was a good draft. I think it's going to play out that way, and the only way we'll know that is when we watch it play out in the field. But I am still really interested about what last year's class is going to do, and in particular, the two guys that we picked in the first round. Now, they have both, you know, given us the Mea Culpa Act, and they say they're ready to go for their second year and realize what they didn't do well and didn't do enough of in their rookie seasons. So with Gilbert and Manziel, that still is going to be interesting to see now. You know, if I knew then what I know now, if that's going to play out onto the field, and if we're going to see these guys, as you say, become pros. When you walk in and you look at guys that have, you know, wives and homes and big bills to pay, and now these guys went through their rookie year and now realize, okay, I have to now become an NFL player.
Yes,
help my team.
The approach for me personally and how I look at Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, and it's not the ideal situation, is that last year was a redshirt year. They learned a lot. They learned what it takes to be a pro. They learned what to do and what not to do. And let's just hope we see those steps taken in this coming season.
Yeah, we'll take a break, and we'll take your calls if you'd like at 216-578-0850. Matt kind of let you in on something, too, that's coming up later in the show. We'll talk to the great play-by-play announcer of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pitt Panthers, Bill Hillgrove, who's been around the Pittsburgh sports scene for a long, long time. He'll give us a preview on the Steelers. I think it's going to be with passing grades plus because they're expected to be very good. And we'll do all of that as we can. Kick it off here on this Tuesday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.